But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of the problems that the Ephesian believers were having is actually a problem that we have in our nation, which is people of different ethnic backgrounds and who are even coming to Christ from different religious and church backgrounds, having conflict with one another and unable to come together peacefully. And when they were having that problem in Ephesus, the apostle recognized that they had a bigger problem, because if they couldn't come near one another peacefully, they weren't understanding what enables them to come near to God peacefully. Because Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness are the only hope that we can have to come near to God peacefully. And so he says, Jesus Christ is not only your only hope for having peace with God, your only solid ground, your only cornerstone for having peace with God, but if everyone in the church recognizes that about themselves with God, then they will all be standing on the same foundation together. They will all be standing on the same solid rock together. They will all be standing on the same cornerstone forever together. And not only is he our only hope for being brought near to God, he's also our only hope for growing in grace and growing in our faith. And so the first part of our passage in verses 13 through 18 especially, he focuses on how Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God. He has killed the enmity that was between us and God. That enmity, of course, comes from us. It comes from our sin. God hates sin. And God hates those who commit sin, which is why Jesus had to be made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5 says. And that's why he cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The answer to that question is God is treating Jesus as if he were us at the cross. And yet he is so glorious in his divine person that even as he is identified with us in his human nature on the cross, he is receiving in his divine person the hatred of God for sin and for sinners. And God is wiping out his hatred. Romans 3 says that God displayed him as a propitiation, displayed him as someone who, in his glorious person, as the second person of the Trinity, God himself, was worth every bit as much as the glory of God, so that all of the wrath of God was wiped out and only the favor of God was left God was made propitious toward us in Jesus. That's what propitiation means on the cross. Made favorable towards us in Jesus because all of the wrath was wiped out. And that's what the apostle is celebrating in our passage. He says, Jesus killed the enmity between God and us. And if we all have to stand on that foundation alone, then we have to stand together. You can imagine, it's not that there isn't much room in Jesus, but if you're all coming together to stand on one foundation, you all have to come near each other as well. And so, said God didn't just eliminate the enmity between him and us in Jesus. He eliminated the enmity between people who were in the church, in the Old Testament that was Israel, and people who are out of the church who believe in Jesus. In the Old Testament, people who believed in the church and people who were out of the church, they were separated. They were separated not just because those in the church were holy, but there were all these commandments and all these ordinances that said if you weren't a Jew, you could not be one with or near or at peace with the Jews. And God, having made both for the Jew and for the Gentile one way of having peace with God, he says, I'm getting rid of all of those laws that made the Jews, the Jewish nation, separate from the Gentile nation. I'm going to preach one gospel to both groups. I'm going to preach one gospel to those who are far off, and I'm going to preach the same gospel to those who are near, that a Jew is not saved by his Jewishness or nearness to God, just like you, my dear children, are not saved by your church membership or your set apartness to God. The same gospel that God has given us to preach to the whole earth who are not in his church is the same gospel that he preaches to us who are in his church. That only on Jesus himself, only in Jesus' blood is there atonement. Only in Jesus' obedience and righteousness is there worthiness with God. That's the gospel that you and I have to believe, right? Even your catechism question this week. What is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. So that you never feel like things are okay between you and God because you're a church member. You know that there are great privileges in being a church member, but that you would always know and feel that things are okay between you and God only because of Jesus. And so because everyone in the church has to believe in the same gospel, we are brought near that. For being brought near to God, we're being brought near to other. But we all must also be built together up into Jesus as we grow. And so he continues in verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you're citizens of the same country, you're family members of the same family, and it's getting more and more intimate, right? It's closer to be members of the same family than it is to be citizens of the same country. Well, what about if you were stones in the same structure? And what if it was an organic structure? So now you're like fibers in the same carbon fiber structure that is being woven together. And he uses both built into and fitted together and growing into. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, again, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so he says, because Jesus Christ himself is the only way that you can be brought near to God, and Jesus Christ himself is the only chief cornerstone from which this fancy organic building, it's amazing the illustrations that the apostle uses and the connection now to us, but Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, is the only one from whom the rest of the building can grow, and his design is for us to grow how? Together. So he says, Jesus Christ's exclusive claim to being how we are brought near to God and how we grow in grace is what is behind believers being at peace with one another, reconciled to one another. And if we're not, then that shows that we have wrong ideas about Jesus. And it's those ideas about Jesus, my hope is built on nothing less, right? And it's got the refrain, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's why we have this passage as a foundation for singing that song in the coming morning today. This passage should be a foundation for you, so that when you recognize in your heart hostility towards anybody who is a member of his church, professing faith, credible profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you'd say, help me, Lord, to remember that you alone are my foundation for being able to be near God. You alone are my foundation for being able to grow. And help me to love and desire for them to grow into standing on you as a foundation as well. And incline your heart towards them. Doesn't mean that you approve of whatever they say and do, God forbid, in those cases. Lord, help us. But it does mean that you incline your heart toward them and take that hostility in your heart as a signal that you need to be giving more attention to the fact that Christ is all your hope for being near to God and for growing in grace. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for giving us your own Son as the one through whom you bring us near to yourself, and his blood as that which makes our peace with you. Thank you for destroying the enmity between us and you. Help us, O God, to see that if there is ever enmity between us and other Christians, that this is a reminder to remember how you have destroyed the enmity between us and you in Christ. And we do pray that you would make all of our hope for growth to rest upon Christ, and that you would help us as we seek to grow, as we seek to be your temple, as we seek for you to be glorified in us, for your Spirit to dwell in us. Help us to remember that your design for how that happens is in your church and connected to your church, so that in loving you and resting upon you, you would make us to value those whom you have set around us and the relationships that you have given us. Help us, O God, to overcome the difficulties in those relationships by this devotion to Christ and dependence upon him. So help us, Holy Spirit, we pray, produce in us your fruit that makes us like Christ, even as you grow us in Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
So let's sing number 459. In response, 459.